10 minutes talk, 10 minutes questions, and then nobody asks a question. You guys get out of here faster. That's wise. Okay. Let me just talk a little bit. Maybe it would be helpful for you just if I talk just briefly about maybe a process you go through, or at least I went through, and with my wife and our family, before that actually happened. So I live in Illinois, just south of Chicago, so very close to a place called Grace and Truth. So some of you may have heard of Grace and Truth, the Groth brothers. They have worked there. Their dad currently works there, where they print gospel tracts. And so I live about an hour and a half from Grace and Truth. So I had the opportunity several times to actually go there for a day or 2 days or just a little bit, just to kind of help out with the work, bundling tracts or doing whatever they needed. And so I was able to do that a number of different times. So because of that, kind of heard about Nigeria and heard about the work in Nigeria. My in-laws, Klaas and Helga Rott from Canada, they had started going to Nigeria sometime around that time. I'm not sure exactly when, but they had started making trips there. So I'm going to Grace and Truth and kind of seeing mail and seeing the work and seeing all of the tracts, huge amounts of tracts getting prepared to get sent over there. I'm hearing from my in-laws about the work in Nigeria. And so because of that, you start just to get interested in what is happening in that country. And so somebody at some point said to me, well, maybe it would be good if you went and visited in Nigeria. Well, I thought, there's no way I'm ever going to Nigeria. Not because I was afraid to travel. I've traveled before. Not because I was afraid of traveling, because I thought, why me? I am not the person to go to Nigeria. I'm not the person to go and have to answer a lot of hard questions about the Bible. I'm not that person. And I was reminded just a few days ago of Moses in the Bible. We all know the story of Moses, and in the opening tonight I referenced about Moses being the one who was going to help deliver God's people. But before that happened, Moses had that experience where God came to him and God said to him, I'm going to send you. And Moses said, not me. They're not going to listen to me. And number two, I am not somebody who likes to speak. I'm not an eloquent person. Now, I don't know about you, but how many people in here really love to get up in front of people and speak? I knew you did. You didn't have to tell me that. I knew Jeffrey did back there. Most of us really don't love the idea of having to get up and speak in front of a lot of people. Don't love the idea. Getting up and speaking to a whole bunch of people, and what if they ask you hard questions or they're not getting what you're saying, and you're thinking, this isn't going well. Well, that's how we humanly can think, isn't it? I can't do that. I'm not the right person. There are way more qualified people who can go somewhere and speak. But what happened in the case of Moses? God had chosen Moses to go there. And I just want to read quickly just a couple verses in Exodus chapter 3. What time did I start? 5 minutes ago? 15 minutes still? Okay, thanks. I'll try to talk a little faster. Exodus 3, verse 7. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I've heard their cry. So number one, God has seen the condition of the place. God, in this case, has seen the condition of the people in Nigeria. He knows what they need. So God first is the one who knows what is necessary in any place, whether it's your community, your school, where you go to the meeting, or wherever you are. God knows the condition. He knows the needs. And so he comes to, I believe, all of us. And we have this experience where he says in verse 10, come now, therefore, and I will send thee. God sends all of us somewhere. Right? All of us somewhere. You may be sent to somebody's room tonight to talk to them. God is sending you somewhere. I'm sure tonight, my guess would be, as you guys are all together, you see needs in the lives of each other. And so God may say even to you tonight, I'm sending you, I think you need to go and talk to somebody. Oh, not me. That's a group leader. That's a group leader, chaperone, or somebody else's job. Not me. Or, no, not me. I can't talk. I can't. What can I say? And we have in this chapter 3, the Lord gives Moses 7 times. He says, well, not really you, Moses, but he says, I will 7 times. You probably all heard that before. It's not a new thought, but 7 times God says, no, you're right, I will. Sometimes we perhaps can become preoccupied with what we can do. And the Lord says, no, I will. So verse 10, come now therefore, I will send thee. Verse 12, certainly I will be with thee. Verse 17, I will bring you out of the land of affliction. Verse 19, I will stretch out my hand. Verse 21, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And then 2 verses that are helpful for me tonight, and helpful for me before tonight. The last 2 times, Moses had said, I can't speak. And 2 times we have the expression, once in verse 12, I will be with thy mouth. And then again, verse 15, I will be with thy mouth. If we try to do it on our own, well, we probably will not do a very good job of it. But if we are like Moses and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I really am not sure what to say. And we express our dependence on the Lord. The Lord is the one who can come and he can help us. I will. And we can rest in that. We don't have to worry about ourselves, do we, anymore? So that's maybe a challenge for you. The Lord has called you somewhere. So just respond to him in confidence, knowing that he is going to do what he's going to bring to pass what he's asked you to do. So going back now, talk a little bit about Nigeria. So this was about 10, 11, 12 years ago. So I was about 30 years old. So we had 5 children. They were, at that time, not sure how old they were. But they were all under 10. So they were, how old are you, Brian? 15 or 16. So they were 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, something like that. So in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, I don't know that that's really a very good idea. I'm the dad here. I'm the one who works. What if something happens to me? I shouldn't really leave the safety of the USA. And so you have that thought. Maybe I shouldn't leave. I have a wife. I have children. So 10 years ago, we'll go through that experience where the Lord gave information, no, I want you to go. Then you go through all of those processes. So 10, 11 years ago, by myself, and my in-laws were there. And it was a fascinating experience. I'd never been to a country that was a poor country. I'd been to Europe, been to Canada, been to the U.S., but I'd never been to a... Canada's not a poor country. I'd never been to a poor country. And so the impression of just seeing, you know, initially coming into the airport, and number one, I think that first time I was there, I was probably, after I got out of the airport, I was the only white guy for most of the time. Now, when you think about Lagos, the city where I went initially, Lagos is a city of about 16 million people. And so it is jammed packed with people everywhere, all over the place. And so the place I stayed was not where usually the white people all stay together, or the foreigners. So Europeans, Americans, all those people in oil or business, they all live in a certain little area, and they don't come out. They all live together in their communities. So I was staying out in a different place where You feel very conspicuous, and you are, because everybody comes up to you and they all want to talk to you and they all want to shake your hand because you're so different, and they know you're from America and they're very, very friendly. But they're very, very poor. And I think that was what struck me first. They're so poor. I cannot believe this. This is horrible. But once you get past that, what is physical, and you get past the poverty and go to the meetings. And meetings would tend to be in a small room, maybe like a 10 by 10 room, maybe a little bigger, 10 by 15 room, blocks, like cement blocks, and no air conditioning, most of the time no lights, and most of the time right on a busy street. So you're trying to pay attention in a meeting, you're trying to have a conversation in a meeting, you're trying to speak in a meeting, and there's all this racket. It's not like this, like right now you guys are so quiet. It's not like that. You're literally on the street, and traffic's going, and you're trying to talk to somebody. It's almost impossible. But yet the Lord in that situation, he blesses the assemblies, and the assemblies there have grown. There's 16 assemblies in Nigeria now. I went back another time by myself, and then we went together. My wife and I went on our third trip. And then after that, once we all went, all five children. And that was a wonderful experience for us all to go. Last year, I went with our two youngest sons, and then we're trusting the Lord that this fall we'll go back again with two of our children. How much time do I have?
7 minutes.
7 minutes. Wow. Okay. Thank you. Maybe it's helpful for you to ask, what do you do when you're there? You should go for 2 weeks. 2 weeks is not a lot of time. Grove City's a week, right? So 2 weeks is not that much time. And that's kind of how I felt. Why am I going here? 2 weeks. What in the world can you get done somewhere in 2 weeks? You show up, you're there a little bit, and you maybe visit a meeting every night or a few meetings every night, and then you're gone. It seems like almost like, is it worth going there for 2 weeks? And I found as I've gone, just the blessing of being there for just 2 weeks. And let me tell you why. Is when you go there, I don't know what size you come from, but where I go to the meeting, it's very small. There's 20, 25 people. It's pretty small. Does anybody go to a meeting that size? A few of you? Okay. So what happens when somebody comes to your meeting from out of town, or somebody comes to your meeting from out of the country, and they come to visit you? What do you think that makes you feel like? Special. It's a real encouragement, isn't it? If you knew somebody was coming to visit you, it's an encouragement. And so often, being a missionary, if you want to use that word, I don't really like that word, but if you want to use that word, a missionary, you're really just there to, at least for me, it's to encourage people. I'm not coming there to change the world in that assembly. You're coming there to encourage them. They're going through rough times. It's extremely poverty stricken. There's a lot of young people, mostly young people, or mostly young married people. So they have a lot of questions. Questions about getting married, questions about having a family, questions about careers and going to school. And so a lot of what we do when we're there is not, I mean, there is a component in the meeting, going to the assemblies and visiting and speaking and Bible studies. That's a piece of it. But actually, probably most of the time, it's probably spent just talking to people. So I stay in like a little guest house. Usually when we go, there's a little room. And people usually come up to your room, our bedroom, where we sleep. And they sit there and they just want to talk. It's kind of like hanging out with a girl for a little while. They just want to talk. They talk and talk and talk. Sorry. But they want to talk to you. And they have a lot of questions. And so a lot of it is just sitting and listening and then trying to point them to the scripture and encourage them. How do you deal with this situation? How do I deal with finding a wife? How do I find a wife? Because in the assemblies there, they're made up primarily of young, single men. So what do you do if you're in the assembly and you really feel like, I really need to marry somebody who believes the same as I do, and I'm not comfortable marrying somebody in a denomination? So what do you do? How do you handle that? how do you handle the fact that we both need to work? Because it takes both of us not to live like how we live in this country, but it takes both of us working just to have food to eat. How do you handle that? What do we do with our children? All those type of questions come up. And so the role of one who goes to encourage is simply to listen to their question or their concern, point them to Scripture, and encourage them, knowing that that's all we can do. And then because of the use of technology today, it's also you have the opportunity of staying in touch. So it's a little bit different now than the first time I went. The first time I went, nobody had cell phones, nobody had computers. Now you go there, and it doesn't matter who you are. You could be a beggar on the street, and they have a cell phone. It's amazing, the technology that's come to that country. If you want something to pray for Nigeria, I would say pray for that. Because what happens with technology is all of the wonderful things with technology obviously benefit them. They can call and talk to people and call this country and talk to people, and that's wonderful. But you all know there's a lot of dangers in technology. For a lot of the people over there, their parents are clueless as to the internet. Their parents are clueless about things that are evil that their children could maybe see. And so because so many of the believers are young, and many of them don't even have parents, there's a great danger for them to get sucked in by the Western world, because now they see that. They get to watch that. They have that experience, think, wow, I want that. I want to get out of this place. And they lose their fervency. When I went to Nigeria, the first time I went there, I was just amazed. Because I thought in one way I was going to encourage them, I was going to go and help them. But I came back from that trip way more encouraged myself than probably they were encouraged from my visit. Because I saw their fervency and their desire to really follow the Lord, serve the Lord, study His Word. I thought, where do you find people that are that age who just want to talk and talk and talk and ask questions and hand out tracts? And I mean, you go to their meetings, they have meetings like forever. They have meetings most nights, many of those places. I mean, imagine that if in your meeting they decided we're going to have a breaking of bread meeting. It's going to be for a couple hours, and then we're going to have go out and I'll hand out tracts for a couple hours, and then we're going to come back and have a ministry meeting, and then on Monday night we're going to get together for Bible study, and then on Tuesday we're going to get together for ministry meeting. Wednesday night we'll have prayer meeting, and then Thursday night we'll do this, and Friday night we'll go to another meeting, and then Saturday we'll do this. I mean, that's their life. They're committed to serving the Lord. And so for me, and I think for our family as we've been there, every time you go, you come back encouraged. So I would, I guess, encourage you tonight. How many minutes? Five still. Can't be right. I would encourage you. The Lord is going to give you opportunities. I think if there's anything I want you to remember, the Lord does give you opportunities to serve Him. Right? He allowed me to go to Grace and Truth and just full tracts, stuff tracts. So I did that. Then He allowed this. Then He allows this. And the Lord, we don't just start out somehow being a missionary to some exotic country in the world and everything is wonderful. I don't think I know a missionary like that. Most of them started out just doing what they were supposed to do right where they lived. Working with people, maybe teaching Sunday school, maybe being involved somehow, maybe doing this, maybe doing that. And then the Lord used them differently. So all of you have the opportunity to be a missionary right where you are, right with people in this room. I want to encourage you to do that. And as you go to tonight and you see the different places, just think about anybody. Everybody has the opportunity to do exactly what all of those people are doing. You have that opportunity to do it now. What the missionaries are doing when they're in their countries, you have the exact opportunity of doing now, today, right where you live. They are no different. They are no different than you, except where they live. Their address is different. You have the same opportunity. Maybe you work, like I do, so maybe you don't have the same, maybe time allowances, maybe, perhaps. But when you're in school, when you're working, after school, you can do the exact same thing that they do. So don't go over there and think, wow, I could never do that. Wow. Now, missionary. Really, you should, we should all be doing that work. Being a missionary wherever we are. Do I have a minute? I'm out of time?
Sure, you could have 1 minute.
I was just going to say, if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer a question. So if you don't have questions, I don't want to use up your minute. Nobody wants to use up the minute now. Yes, sir. I knew you would ask questions. Thank you. See, that's why I don't like being up front, because people ask hard questions. The average income, I don't know.
I guess
less than a dollar. I mean, they don't have anything.
Per year?
I don't know, not much. Yeah, most of those people, they live from day to day. So, like, when they're working, like, if you're out on the street and they're selling rice, it's their job selling rice or selling this or selling that, that's their money for today. That's their food money. So it's not like they've got money, they're saving money. They don't save money. One other quick thing that I think you can be involved in. Now I'll stop. One thing you can be involved in, there's a lot of work that different missionaries do in helping besides spiritual help. There's a lot of physical help that takes place in some places. So I'd encourage you to think about that. There's different ways of helping people with work projects. I don't mean going and actually working there, though that you could do that. Some have done that. But giving your money that you have to help others go to school, get a job, start a little business so they can provide for their families. There's ways for you to do that. So I just encourage you in that vein as well. Okay, I'm done.
Very good. Well done.